Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you, bigger than Oprah. I mean, how about that? Please subscribe, rate, and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. We got our top 10 sounds we're going to get to. We're going to get to John Collins Stanzik. Have you noticed, by the way, that ESPN.com is putting together, they have put together, their all-time teams for the Western Conference, and I imagine soon they'll be doing it for the Eastern Conference. Have you noticed that?
I saw it today, and I meant to text you. They're stealing our bit. I mean, can we take credit for that? I don't think we, like, invented that, but we have been doing it.
No, we are taking credit for it, and I'm also accusing someone of stealing it. And whoever the person who stole it is, get them on, okay?
Clearly they listen, so they'll hear this.
We're going to get to John Collins here. Before Collins comes on, remind me, I want to look at the 2017 draft because I have a feeling John Collins, who was taken 19th, probably should have been taken 4th or 5th, you know?
Okay, I will remind you. It seems like we got a lot to get to here.
Yeah, we're under
the gun here.
We are. All right, let's get to the top 10 sounds. Is that what you were trying to get to? Top 10 sounds?
Yeah. We played the commencement speech last week. We played a little Tony Reality this past episode. I mean, we got some options.
Right. Well, with the commencement speech, would that be in our list of top 10 sounds for Stupodity? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think so.
Well, explain to the audience that because we have done, I think, 74 episodes. 60 of the 74 have been done in the last 2 weeks. So we're over a year now. We're 70 some odd episodes into this, and we've had some funny sounds on Stupodity, and I've been asking you to put together a list of the top 10 sounds that we have heard on this podcast. So you have done so, and I appreciate that. But how did you come to these 10 sounds? Was there a committee form? Like, what did you do, Stanzik? How did you get to these sounds?
So I didn't go back and listen to every word of every episode because that'd be ridiculous. I essentially just looked at the episode list and tried to remember what was in it and whether or not there was anything funny in it. And I wasn't sure if we were just doing sounds, if we were doing like words people spoke. So right. I just kind of did a mix of both. So some are just sounds. Some are like minute long passages. And some are just funny things that people said.
All right, but was there any sort of committee form for this?
It was a committee of one because I knew you wouldn't have whatsoever.
Right.
But feel free to make adjustments on the fly. If you don't like the way that I have anything ranked, feel free to mix it up. You know, this list is as much yours as it is mine.
All right, let's start with the honorable mentions. Some that were close on the fringe of the top 10 but did not make the top 10. Do you have any of that for me? Do you want to set them up? Do you want me to set them up? How would you like to do this? You would think that we prepared, but if we prepared, we would not be the biggest podcast in America right now. The ones that prepare, those are the bad ones. The ones that don't prepare, great. So how do you want to do this, Stanzik? We'll talk it out on the fly.
I would say that I've provided you a list of honorable mentions and a top 10. How about you look through that list of honorable mentions and you call for the sound that you want to hear to refresh your memory and see if maybe it'll actually sneak its way into the top 10.
All right, let's start with a Starbucks worker not knowing who I am.
So do you know who I am? Who am I?
Are you Doug Kazarian?
Nailed it. Perfect.
That was a little tour around Bristol.
It was.
That's when I was up in Bristol. Levitar was off for 19 weeks. I didn't ask for any of this. And Stanzik just took me on a tour, on a Lazy River tour, Bristol, Connecticut. Again, there is a Starbucks in the cafeteria on the Bristol campus. I asked the guy who works at that Starbucks if he knew who I was.
So do you know who I am? Who am I?
Are you Doug Kazarian?
Nailed it. Perfect.
Doug Kazarian, host of the Gambling Show on ESPN. All right, let's see what else was close on the fringes of the top 10, but did not make it in. Give me a little Neil Everett.
That was it.
How did that not make it into the top 10? It must be Leonard.
That was it.
That was it. All right, give me Laura Rutledge. I'm sorry.
Keep it in,
Stanton. Laura Rutledge, she did an impersonation, an impression that surprised all of us. It was Chewbacca.
Hi.
Rutledge didn't make the top 10?
Maybe it should. Maybe we should bump it up. I mean, this is pretty good.
Hi.
I think, no, it's horrible. It's awful, okay? It's easy to do Chewbacca. She did not do it well. She did everything else on that podcast very, very well. I think we were so shocked that she was willing to do a Chewbacca impression that we just put it right there where it belongs. Not in the top 10, but just outside the top 10 so we could play it.
Hi.
I'm still reeling about Neil Everett. He's going to be upset, by the way.
That was it.
Yo, what? All right, let's listen. This didn't make the top 10. The rare time Jay Billis was emphatically wrong.
I probably should have gave you more on that one. Not the best setup. Listen to Jay Billis revealing the secrets of what you do.
Jay, that's my point, though. See, you would know all that stuff about him, okay? But the people watching at home, they have no idea. I feel like you just say anything, and it might not pass your sniff test, but it will pass theirs, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's the beauty of sports broadcasting is we don't have to, we don't really have to be prepared as long as we, and I've said this to my friends who tried to get into broadcasting. I've said, look, when you're auditioning, you can be wrong as long as you're emphatically wrong. If you're emphatically wrong, it's just as good as being right.
Okay. All right. So Jay was not emphatically wrong. He's never been more right.
Yes.
Kenny G did not make the top. Now, Kenny G has never spoken a word on this podcast. He has put his sacks in my face. What? What happened there? He's blown his horn. What? Who? Kenny G. What's that?
Well, it's the whole thing, and he does say a word.
Whoa. One of the first episodes we ever did, I think it was Valentine's Day, serenading my wife. Is that the sound you're going with?
That is the sound.
And it did not make the top 10?
Didn't make it.
This is the greatest gift I've ever given my wife. Besides the gift of no sex on Valentine's Day, this is the greatest gift I've ever given her. Here's Kenny G.
Hey, Abby, Kenny G here, wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. Jeez. Stu Gotz loves you so much, and I'm here to prove it.
Hey. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Put that in the top five, and I will remind you on that same very day he did the same exact thing for Kanye West. He had to cost Kanye like $5 million. I got it for free. I mean, what you got, Kanye? Were you think that had to be close to being in the top 10, Stanton? I imagine when you got down to like 9, 10, like Kenny G or Rutledge had to be like, you were up for hours, you and the committee, debating which one should get in, if either should get in. It's the worst. But also the best because she did it. By the way, have you been tracking Rutledge as you put these Supodity stickers on SportsCenter yet?
I was going to ask you. I haven't seen anything. I feel like someone would let you know if she did, right?
I would figure that she would let us know. Get her on, okay? Next week, please. All right, this is – okay, we'll get to the top 10 in a second. I cannot believe this did not make it. This is Gojo comparing Joey Chestnut to Picasso.
It's like drowning because as I'm going on, I'm simultaneously trying not to throw up, realizing that I'm just shoving more of them in my mouth and not swallowing because the whole time I'm gawking, watching Joey ball three up at a time, grease them with a little bit of water because we all agreed beforehand the water was in play if you wanted to bathe them down, because the one bit of advice I got from the local guy who had obviously done this a little more, Joey had not eaten them professionally in competition and wanted to make that abundantly clear before he baptized us in his unholy fire. The guy said, whatever you do, don't inhale when you eat this, because if you take a bunch of powdered sugar down the wrong pipe, you're going to puke and you're going to get disqualified. And so now I'm nervous about doing that. And then again, I'm just sitting there watching the best in the world do his thing. Like, it was sitting next to Picasso. It was unreal. And so I was proud that I somehow managed to eat 14 in the 4 minutes that we were doing while Joey ate 78. And I honestly think they shortchanged him by like 10.
78 to 14. And did you just compare Joey Chestnut to Picasso?
I honestly think he's better at what he does.
I mean, that's crazy. They didn't make it in there. It really is. So this top 10 must be, it's been a hell of a 70 some odd episodes of stupidity. It's incredible. All right. So Gojo doesn't make it. Billis being right when I thought he was emphatically wrong. Didn't make it. Starbucks worker calling me Doug Kazarian doesn't make it. Rutledge's Chewbacca doesn't deserve to make it, but it didn't make it. And Neil Everett, How's It, and Kenny G. Wow, I cannot wait for the top 10. So I have no idea what the top 10 is. We're going to find that together. Number 10. These are the 10 best sounds, Stanzik, right? These are the top 10 sounds over the, let's call it, 14 months we've been doing Stupidity, correct?
That's correct.
All right, give me number 10. Yep. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. With all due respect to Rutledge's Chewbacca, that is from the episode where we had Chris Felica on the bear. We suggested to him that after every pick, he needs to have some sort of bear sound to accompany the pick, and this is the sound we chose for. And then what happens, Stanton, a couple of weeks later, we are watching College Game Day. Reese Davis goes to Felica. Felica makes a pick, and this happens. I mean, Jesus. You're welcome, Game Day. Where would that show be without us? I mean, and then Reese Davis gave me a little shout-out. You remember that?
I sure do.
He did. He said, you know, the bear played that sound and Reese Davis on College Game Day, I think it was in Gainesville, said, you finally listened to Stugatz. Well done. And Herbie and everyone else said, terrible idea. All right. Give me number 9. These again are the top 10 sounds in Stupidity history. So congratulations to the bear who came in at number 10. Give me number 9.
Who wrote the opening of this show? I want to punch him in the face.
Oh, God, Sims. I mean, that menace. I mean, Jesus Christ. That was during a Stooleywood game. Frank Caliendo. It was Caliendo who hosted that one, right?
It was, yep.
And inexplicably, not only did Phil Sims continuously want to punch his own son, Chris, in the face, but this time he wanted to punch everyone in the face.
Yeah, and here's why he wanted to punch everybody in the face, because here is his portion of the open.
He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback that went on to call 8 more as a broadcaster before being replaced by a guy who won a grand total of 2 playoff games in his entire career. And he's a real-life PFT commenter who once appeared as a guest on the same radio show every day for 14 straight weeks. Phil and Chris Sims.
All right, now give me Sims wanting to punch everyone in the face again.
Who wrote the opening of this show? I want to punch him in the face.
All right, give me number 8. Number 8. So number 10, the bear. Congratulations. Number 9, Phil Sims wanting to punch Stanzik in the face. Number 8, Stanzik.
My mom says all the time. She goes, you know, it's so unfortunate that you're on shows that nobody watches. I'm like, how do you know? She goes, I at work, no one knows who you are. No one has any idea who you are. Yeah, your sister, she's a teacher. She is that fly. What do? You talk about a ball going in a guy's hand. Nobody cares. He said, I'm not kidding. This is exactly when I told her I resigned with ESPN. She's like, that's nice. When are you going to Good Morning America, though?
You know, people do watch that NFL thing, you know?
She doesn't think so. Oh, the best is when she goes, why don't you host that show? I go, because you really can't. Because you're on TV for 30 seconds. I got to stop my whole life to watch 30 seconds. And you're talking about stuff no one even cares about.
All right. So that is, of course, the great Diana Rossini. That is the first time, I think, Stans, if we both realized how magical her impersonation of her mom was. That was the first time, right?
That was it. That was the debut of Camille.
I'm surprised it's at number eight. I got to be honest. I have that peg for top three. I mean, because she doesn't want to admit it, but deep down in places at cocktail parties, she doesn't want to talk about that made her. Okay. All right, congratulations to Diana Rossini's mom. You finished eighth in the top 10 sounds on Stepanity. Give me number seven, please.
Dan Lieberfeld with Stugarts.
Christopher Mantle. Again, listen very closely how Christopher, and it's shocked to nobody who knows Chris Mantle Russo. How Christopher Mad Dog Russo pronounces the Dan Levitard show with Stugarts.
Dan Lieberfeld with Stugarts.
Lieberfeld with Stugarts.
Dan Lieberfeld with Stugarts.
What makes you laugh harder, Lieberfeld or Stugarts?
Lieberfeld, perfect.
By the way, Levitard owes me a half hour on Doggy Show. Okay.
That's right.
And then I co-host with Mad Dog and Mad Dog co-hosts with me. I co-host with Mad Dog at SiriusXM and then Mad Dog co-hosts with me on ESPN Radio and Levitard probably never gets his job back. But he owes me a half hour, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right. So that is, congratulations to Christopher Mad Dog Russo, the seventh best sound in Stupidity history. Once again, here is Chris Mad Dog Russo trying to say the Dan Lieberfeld show with Stugarts.
Dan Lieberfeld with Stugarts.
He deserves it. He deserves it. He's perfect. All right. Give me, this is great. I love this. Mad Dog, Rossini, Sims, the Bear. Give me number six, Stanzing.
Stugarts, this is the mural of life. Here I am. I have immersed myself. I am bathing. And right over here, if I leave this area right here, if I leave this magic space, this mural of life, I've got the Grateful Dead shower that has all the tile of the logos of the Grateful Dead and beautiful hot water. And it's got the beautiful rain shower on top. And so when I encounter evil and I can't get rid of it and I can't fight it off, then I have to leave the mural of life and go into the Grateful Dead shower and cleanse myself and heal my soul. But fortunately, I'm with you today, Stugarts, so all is well.
I sense the big Bill Walton wanted to chime in and talk to the real Bill Walton here.
As he went across the board from humanity, starting out with humor and understanding the love of music and sights behind him were invigorating us all. We understood how much care Bill, the actual Bill Walton, had for not just humanity, but the entire universe. And I say that with the understanding that there are beings out there abroad. And when I say abroad, I mean interstellar, not unlike Matthew McConaughey in the movie Interstellar. And this, my friends, is just the first clause of my sentence.
Finally, somebody who I can understand. Somebody who makes sense.
Listen, I had that higher. I maintain that's one of the five best episodes we've ever done, Stanzik. Like, that was, it was amazing.
Yeah, it might be one of the best five episodes. I don't know if the sound cracks the top five because we still have five more sounds to get to. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I had it at six, committee of one.
All right, you see what Caliendo has done since, by the way, have you? Have you noticed on his podcast, Caliendo's podcast?
No, what'd he do?
Like mother f***ing thief, man. He had Walton on, and he did the same exact bit, but he expanded it out. That day, Pash come on, he had all these people come. He stole our bit, is what he
did. Wow, everybody's stealing our stuff now, huh? ESPN, El Riendo. I mean, Mina did a Keep It In on her podcast this week.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, God, I mean, what is going on here?
I
mean,
I enjoyed that one, though. I laughed. She made me laugh.
I mean, the next thing you know, Phil Simms is going to be a Sarah Spain podcast punching people in the face. I mean, what is going on here? So now we've arrived at the top five. Wow, this has to be loaded. All right. Congratulations, by the way, to the real Bill Walton, the fake Bill Walton, Mad Dog, Lebafard, Rossini, Phil Simms, the Bear. Congratulations to you, Stantic, for putting this together because it's glorious. Give me number five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Reality.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was right after I think I had made my first appearance or couple appearances on Around the Horn after years of begging them.
Yes, yes.
So I had just made it. I had blown everyone away. I didn't realize I was going to be that good on the show. And Reality was so blown away that he decided, okay, I'm going to come on Stupidity. So we had Reality on. He was fantastic. And the only thing I remember from a one-hour great interview with Tony Reality is this.
Oh, yeah.
I would say it's the most played sound on our show, Stantic.
Oh, yeah.
You agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Congratulations to Tony Reality. Comes in at number five. God, the next four must be loaded. I had Reality. Listen, you told me we were doing this, so I tried to guess the top 10. And I got to be honest, I had Reality in this sound at number two.
I think you've had, like, in classic Stu fashion, I think you've had, like, eight things in your top five already.
Including Laura Rutledge's Chewbacca.
Boy.
And certainly Neil Everett's How's It?
How's It?
I don't know if we're going to get Neil again, to be honest with you. All right, give me, we're inside the top five. Give me number four. What is number four top 10 sounds on Stupidity?
My favorite song has to be that long-awaited duet between Mikey C and the Dumpster, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay.
But Mikey, you can smoke outside.
I got to go away.
But Mikey, you can smoke outside.
The cigarette has
been hoping you'd come by.
So very nice.
One more help, it's not
my manager
night.
Will start to worry.
The show is over, what's your hurry?
The gods might want me on the air.
Listen to me, he doesn't care.
So really I better scurry.
Mikey C, please don't hurry.
And maybe just a half a cig more.
Throw that butt through my door.
I should really head back.
Mikey, it's bad in there.
Say, what's in this pack?
No drags to be had. In there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are so red right now.
The
sprinkles work, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
just
sir.
Just come a little closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense? Your lungs are fried.
I really can't stay.
Mikey, don't hold out. Mikey,
but
you
Mike
can
smoke
outside.
Stanzik, listen, I thought Reality deserved to be way up. Again, I had him at number two, but you know what? I'll have to hear the next three, but you were right. That sound right there, Mikey C. L. Duncan, certainly deserving of top five, right? I mean, obviously, you put it in there. That was classic. And I think what blew us all away was not Mikey C., no pun intended.
Of course not.
No, no pun intended. L. Duncan, that her voice, her ability to sing, and her ability to absorb all of that nicotine and smoke from Mikey C is what blew us all away, no?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was the juxtaposition of her great voice juxtaposed against Mikey C's awful voice. I think that's what made it so spectacular.
What's that juxta whatever you just used? I don't even know what that means. Jesus Christ. Speak f***ing English, my man. Juxta? All right, so that was the congratulations to L. Duncan, not to Mikey C. he's going to be pissed. Yeah, no, he doesn't care. As long as his name, listen, he's number four. He's not going to be pissed. He doesn't care if I mention his name. He doesn't care. What, as long as his voice is on this thing, that's all he cares about. I can't wait to see what the top three is. All right, give me number three.
I'm stunned, bewildered, and quite frankly, jealous. Congratulations, Valerie. You got the N. Based on years of experience, I was fully expecting to be here to celebrate the Dan Le Batard wedding with Valerie. Pat Riley is here, ladies and gentlemen. Riles, how is it possible that you look better at age 74 than Dan looks at 50? Your passion, commitment, and desire to win another Larry O'Brien trophy has inspired Dan to get himself a trophy wife. Pat, you've always said during free agency that you are chasing whales. And clearly, Valerie took your advice, and that is what she has landed.
Oh,
a whale.
God. I actually feel
Tony Kornheiser and Greg Cody at the same table. Is the Grim Reaper sitting there too? On a serious note, Greg recently told me about how when he first met Dan, there was an instant connection. They were like brothers at the Herald, chasing down stories, drinking beers together, and arguing about sports around the office. It was one of the best years of Greg's life. Turns out, it was for Dan too. Because that's the year that Valerie was born.
Oh, God, man. We heard that?
I mean, I know.
And you have it that high on the list?
I mean, the lines were good. I'm sorry.
You're not.
True.
All right, well, congratulations, Dan Le Batard. That was mean. But funny. All right. Wow. I mean, we are down to the final two here. All right. Give me number two, Stanzik.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Perfect open, perfect sound, perfect voice for this show. I am surprised that is not number one. I will tell you, in terms of Greeny's resume, it's number one there. You and I agree for as long as we do this podcast, that open will never change. That will always be the open because that open is perfect, correct?
Oh, yeah. And people that skip through it, it's fine. I don't care. It's just brilliant. I don't think we can do any better. The writing's outstanding. The delivery's outstanding. The music's outstanding. You get it every episode. You know, if you skip through it a bunch of times, just listen to it every once in a while. It's brilliant.
It really is. And what we always say on this podcast is once we play the open, it's all downhill from there. I mean, it's the best part of every episode we've done. Congratulations to Greeny, who I assure you will be upset he wasn't number one. Let's go to, but this person would have been more upset, I think, because I have a feeling I know what number one is going to be. So if you did it this way, A, compliments to the selection committee, and if the selection committee was just you, Stanzik, well done. Number one sound, Stupidity history, right here. Yeah, it's the number one sound in ESPN history. I mean, that is Mikey C with a tap of the dumpster before he does his smoke break. It had to be that way.
I figured it made sense to have number one be an actual sound and not like a voice or a funny line. A sound made sense for number one on the top 10 list of Stupidity sound.
Listen, not only that, it was a great decision by you. I am telling the audience, Stanzik knows this. Yeah, I don't need to tell him again. If it wasn't the number one sound, we'd be hearing about it for months, okay?
He might hear number four and then not listen to the rest of the top 10.
It's unbelievable. Give me number one again. All right. Congratulations to the dumpster. That is the dumpster on the Bristol campus. I'm not even going to give Mikey C the credit. The dumpster. be so mad at me. Jesus Christ. We just patched up a relationship with Mikey C. After having Tom Brady on, he was wounded. He was upset. And now we've just pissed him off again. So we get observations for Sazik next week.
We got to get George Kittle or it doesn't happen.
Oh, that's right. Kitty cat. Those were the terms. If we don't get him, George Kittle, he's not coming back on.
I think George Kittle and Holly Saunders.
He's the only person who has 2 sacks. It's on the top 5 here. The only one. The only one. He's going to be happy, no?
Yeah, he's going to wish they were number 1 and number 2.
All right. You're right. You're probably right. And he's going to wonder where, you know, like he's probably got 30 other sacks that he feels like should be in the top 10, right?
Well, there is the one with his kidney stone.
Do you have it?
Pretty good, dude.
It's stupid show. That's why you just keep talking, going.
Okay, here's Mikey C's kidney stone. Here's Mikey C trying to light a cigarette today with Al Duncan. Here is Mikey C lighting a cigarette, having sex with Mikey C passing a kidney stone. This might be the one that gets us fired, Mike.
Yep. We had a good run. Back to 7 to 9 Sunday morning.
I'll see you there.
You're always there.
I am. I haven't left.
You said I could amend the list, right?
Yeah.
You keep the list as is. That's number one. I don't care what anyone says. Okay? I don't care. I mean, it's Mikey C having a kidney stone. That sound is having sex with Mikey Smee during a smoke break. I can't do much better than that. I'm sorry. I know we've had Tom Brady and Rory on, but that's better. All right, that was a great time. It was fun, right? We've had some fun over the last year, man.
I know.
Probably left so many out that we're not even thinking of them.
I know. We didn't even put in you saying you'd the shit out of George Clooney.
What? I said that? Max Brado's episode?
Yeah.
We never got Max on or Clooney.
Or Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah.
Where at, man?
Where is he?
Get him on.
Hashtag Team Fat. Get him with Andrew Brandt. Listen, you have a management style, much like the guys on our radio show, where you just hope I forget. I mean,
and you do.
Every time. Stupidity. All right, John Collins is going to join us from the Atlanta Hawks. Stanzik, first off, you love doing a redraft, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if you did the 2017 draft over, which I am such a dork and I'm pulling it up right now, my guess is Collins, who was selected 19th in that draft, would have been a top 5 pick, no?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think he'd have to fall somewhere in that top 5.
So to jar people's memories, this is the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum draft, Lonzo Ball draft, okay?
Yep.
So I am looking at it right now. We would agree without hesitation that if you were to redraft that draft, Jason Tatum would be number one, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's much debate there. I think Tatum's the clear one. 2 and 3, you could probably argue, but Tatum's definitely one.
Well, here's the funny thing about Tatum. Had the Sixers trust the process, they had the pick. They had the player. He was right there, and they traded down. So they took Markelle, right?
They traded up. The Sixers traded up to get Fultz.
Oh,
the Celtics had one. They traded back and still got Tatum.
So the Sixers, I mean, if they take Tatum, it is Tatum, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. That team was a championship, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable how they screwed that up. All right, so Tatum would have been number one. So Fultz would have been way outside the top 5 at this point. Lonzo Ball probably outside the top 5, although playing better. So I think probably 2 and 3, looking at that draft, is probably going to be either Bam Adebayo, who's with the Heat, or Donovan Mitchell, who's with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, both have made the All-Star team. That's 2 and 3, pretty clearly. Pick the one you like more. I mean, Bam's been awesome this year, whatever this year was. Mitchell scored over 20 in all three seasons. I mean, I might lean Donovan Mitchell right now, but Bam is certainly trending upwards.
All right, and so then you go to, like, John Collins, De'Aaron Fox, and Lauri Markkanen for the next three. So I would say probably De'Aaron Fox 4, John Collins 5, Markkanen probably goes 6, and, of course, the Knicks are saddled with both Frank Ntilikina, is that how you pronounce it, and Dennis Smith Jr. God, I hate that. Get the priestess on. I mean, Jesus Christ. We have not one, but two of the worst players in that draft. All right, so we agree. Tatum 1, Mitchell 2. Let's give Donovan 2. Adebayo 3, De'Aaron Fox, who I think is going to be exceptional, 4. And then our next guest, John Collins, with the Atlanta Hawks, who is an amazing player. And from what I hear, an awesome dude. He would be number 5. Is that fair?
Yeah, I might even have him at 4 ahead of Fox.
All right, we'll see what Collins thinks about it.
Stupidity!
Sorry about there that, y'all. I was trying to get on the iPad. It wasn't working, but appreciate you for having me on, man. You guys are big time. Stu, specifically, hilarious, my dude. Big fan, my man. So really glad you got your own. Can I curse on here?
Yeah, please.
It's Stupidity, John.
No, I'm glad you got your own shit, bro. You're one of my favorite listens whenever I listen to the Dan Le Batard show. Just got to let you know that. Like, for real, big fan. But we can get into it, man. Glad to be on here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. If you don't curse, we don't invite you back, John. That's the fucking deal. Okay?
All right. Well, at least I got an invitation. I got an invitation back, right?
Wait, so I'm interested before, because we were just doing a 2017 redraft, and I want to get to that in just a second. But what is it about our show? Because we get it from athletes all the time that we love you guys, and we appreciate it. Dan and I really do appreciate it. What is it you love about the show? And by the way, open invitation to our show anytime you want, okay?
First off, like I said, I appreciate it, man, but what do I love about the show? First off, so I'm a South Florida kid, so I'm from West Palm Beach, Florida, so you guys are right down the street, so that's probably the first thing. So, you know, whenever I'm, like, trying to find something to listen to, ESPN2, ESPN Radio, ESPN this, whenever you guys are on ESPN2, it used to be, or if it still is, like, that's an easy watch. And then I get whenever we're watching the show, it's candid. Like, you guys are having fun. Like, you and Dan's chemistry is amazing, like, just straight up. And then – I can't remember everybody's name, but I like how you guys just integrate everybody. Everybody's on the camera. It's just real.
Yeah,
I'm a real dude, so I like it. It's cool.
We just try to have fun and let our personalities speak for ourselves, and then when the serious stuff comes up, we just hand it off to Levitard and let him go, and he's as good as anyone with it. And I wait for him to finish on the serious stuff so we can get back to the bullshit, because that's what I'm good at, you know?
Oh, man, it's hilarious, dude. That's right, dude. You're hilarious, dude. Like,
no, yeah, but you know what's dawning on me, John? This is what's dawning on me is you are. You're from West Palm Beach, and what's dawning on me is how old I am, because Stan's at John Collins, a good chance. You kind of grew up on me and Levitard. Like, oh, my God.
No, seriously.
I know that's awesome, but I feel like I'm 1,000 years old now, Collins.
I'm not trying to make you feel like a dinosaur. I'm sorry, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a real fan. Like, I grew up, like, I would go to school. Like, I would watch you guys. I would come home. I would listen to the podcast. Like I said, it's real. And, like, the fact that you guys are on there having, like, real conversations, it's real chemistry. Nothing's, like, at least, you know, from what I can see, nothing's, like, forced. Even if it is, like, previously talked about, like, something funny or whatever skit you guys have, like, you guys just make it work. And that's, like, the fun part about it. You know what I'm saying? That you guys know each other truly and make it funny. Make it cool to listen to. So let me stop.
No. Keep going. You guys are,
yeah, John, I don't know if you've noticed here, Stu's interview tactic. You complimented the show, and then his first question was, give me more compliments. So that's what I've gotten so far.
I was trying to tell him that he's making me feel old.
Classic Stu, man.
Classic Stu.
Hey, listen, I knew I was going to get on his good side and come on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Got a couple compliments. Runs through the right way. We're all good, baby. I'm back on.
I will tell you, not only are you real and genuine, you are more prepared for this interview than I am.
Listen. When they told me I was doing a Stupidity interview with Stu, I was like, wait, Stu from the Dan Le Batard show, right? They're like, yeah. I was like, not to disrespect you guys, but I was like, yo, I really don't need to prepare because I know I can come on there and be myself. And he's going to respect it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to, like, he's gonna f- with it. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like it was cool, and I felt like you're a real. You guys, excuse me, Dan. Nice to meet you, my guy Dan. Seemed like two real ass dudes, so I knew it'd be some fun combo for sure.
Yeah, we'll have some fun, and I do appreciate it, and I mean that. Open invitation to you whenever you want, because Dan will love this. I want to have you on the show, and we'll just kind of go from there. So that 17 draft that me and Stanzik were redoing. You were selected 19th in that draft, and we maintain if we redid that draft, and I'm certain you have, that you would be a top five selection. Do you remember like the four guys selected ahead of you in that draft?
The four guys selected ahead of me. I probably say for like the next year, I guess I had their names memorized. I feel like at a point in time for like the first 6 months, I was on like the Draymond Green thing where you like, yo, who got drafted before you? And I would like rattle off everybody's name. But as time went on, you know, I kind of just got over it because, you know, I was like, man, I'm going to just put my work in on the court and you'll go get it that way. But
Let me give you some names, okay? Because if I were you, I'd be insulted, all right?
Yeah, John, we can't blame you for forgetting because they're all forgettable names.
I'm not even certain the three guys ahead of you are in the league. I mean,
I did not say that.
I'm saying it. John Collins didn't say anything. This is me. I don't know who T.J. Leaf, T.J. Wilson, or Justin Patton are. Never heard of them. Any of them. I said it, not John Collins.
Hey, listen, shout out to the Hawks for believing in the kid, and we're going to go from there, man.
All right, I think Tatum goes number one. If they redid it, Tatum, who should have went number one, probably still goes number one. And then I think it's Bam, and then you or Donovan Mitchell in no particular order. I think that would be the top four if we redid it.
No, see, that's where the conversation gets good. And like I thought you were going to ask me if I was to do a redraft, who would I take first? And I was like, oh, I was trying to think. Then you threw me off a little bit. You got me, Stu. It's cool. But I definitely think we have a nice draft class, like just comparatively to the other draft classes up to this date. I feel like the production rate we have when you would do the redraft and you look at who's truly producing and playing places, I feel like we have definitely a really solid class. Hopefully turns out to be a Hall of Fame class one day.
I got to tell you, with a 19th pick, I mean, 41 games, it's averaging 21.5, 10 rebounds, 1.6 blocks per game, 58% shooting, 40 from three. That's a pretty damn good draft, man. Like you, John, the season, listen, there's no good time for what we're going through, but you were really taking off once the season came to a halt, right?
No, yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, people always think, just as athletes, we come in and first game we're, you know, going to snap it on. It's just not how it happens. Obviously, I missed my first 25 games, was out. And when I came back, I was kind of unsure of my, you know, my flow, my rhythm, how I was going to come back and play. But I feel like for me, I put in enough work. And then as I was getting to, it just takes time for you to get into that game-to-game flow, that feeling. It doesn't take one game. And I feel like that was sort of happening. My 25 games sort of pushed me to getting my mid-season stride towards the end of the year, right? Which is when I think my numbers started to take off a little bit. So, you know, coming into next year, that's going to be my focus, just trying to be consistent and stay solid because those numbers look real pretty.
Congratulations, man, because the game was really starting to come. Now, you play for the Hawks. Do you know my boy Andrew Saltzman? Is that him? Is that a familiar name to you?
Of course.
Right, he's like president of sales. I mean, that guy is a fucking maniac. Okay, yeah, he's a big time guy, but he's also a fucking maniac. He's the reason you have a barber shop in that arena. He will sell every square inch, not just in that arena. He'll sell every square inch of John Collins if you want. I mean, he will put patches all over your body if you'd like.
Hey, listen, what we're trying to do in Atlanta should be like a marker of like where I think fans and just people are starting to look at us and be like, okay, this team is next up. Obviously myself, a great young core, an all-star in Trae Young, a superstar, you know, himself and myself. I think the team we have, Cam Reddish, Dre Hunter, Kevin Herter, as I go forward, the additions we made the offseason, the J.R. Crickets in the arena, we have a courtside bar, the only team in the whole league with a courtside bar. We have a barbershop in there. I just think all the amenities, it's real Atlanta, and I feel like that's what makes us want to come out and support us.
Yeah, that's why it's good. Stanzik, I'm telling you, when I learned there was a bar right next to the court, like courtside bar and a barbershop, I'm like, that's got Andrew Saltzman fingerprints all over.
If we see Stu down there, that means he got those courtside that season ticket pass. I'm gonna be shouting my boy out.
Yeah, but now the question is, am I gonna get him from Saltzman or am I gonna get him from John Collins? That's
the question. You might get a nice little discount if you get it from Drew, man. I got pay for all mine. You know what I'm saying? I got pay for mine.
I love it. So what have you been doing to get through quarantine, man? How you been holding up?
Yeah, so just working out, Xbox, those are like two of the main things. I've been trying to work on Spanish a little bit, you know, trying to become fluent. I understand here and there, but I'm not like a fluent Spanish speaker. So that's sort of one of the other things I've been like trying to put my empty time into. Like if I'm just sitting there and I'm like, man, I'm bored, I'll go like, I have a Duolingo. I have the Rosetta Stone. I have another app, forgot the name, but go on there and waste some time and try to be as best as a professional athlete as I can, try to stay in shape, keep basketball going. And it's real weird, man. I know everything is up in the air for a lot of people right now, just like weird times.
Why Spanish? Just out of curiosity, just something you've always wanted to do?
I'll say like the main reason besides me living in South Florida, besides my mom having Puerto Rican heritage, and, you know, I have a little bit of Puerto Rican heritage in my family.
Sure.
I always was bad at Spanish growing up and going to school. I would always like get C's, D's in Spanish class, just being real. So I, obviously as I got older and got out of school, I had more free time. It was like one of the only things where I just couldn't get. So now it's like, it's bugging me. It's like, I want to learn it. I want to go to like Spain or like, you know, one of the Spanish speaking countries and maybe like live there for a month and try to learn it. But it's still bugging me to this day.
It's funny because my daughter, I have twin daughters. They're 16 years old. They're sophomores in high school. My daughter, I mean, and she's very smart. Like she's super smart and has no problem with any single class but Spanish. She'll leave Spanish class. You mentioned cursing before. Can she curse? She knows every curse in Spanish. I can tell you that much. I mean, because she leaves that class cursing. Spanish is the hardest f-ing course imaginable. And I don't know why they're teaching it, because if you're not going to use it later in life, what the hell? I mean, I don't understand why you would need it, you know?
No, and see, that's why I feel like I would need it, because, like, you know, I'm from South Florida, and whenever I go back, like, it's easy. Like, I can walk into every other store, and there's, like, a majority of Spanish speakers in that store. Like, just seriously, like, you know, if you ever live in South Florida, you obviously know there's a large Latin influence, Spanish influence, so, like, when I go back home, I know I can practice and have people to speak it to, which is like extra motivation for me to learn and try to like, you know, get a grasp. So when I go back home, I feel like I can start practicing.
No, it's a great reason to want to learn Spanish. But you were up in West Palm, so because you're from a military family, so mom and dad, by the way. So I'm wondering, did they try to steer you towards the military away from what your ultimate goal was, which was the NBA, I assume? And so I'm wondering that, did they try to steer you towards the military, and how'd you end up in West Palm Beach? Because you were very well traveled as a kid.
Yeah. So a little bit of a backstory for anybody who doesn't know. As Stu said, I'm a military brat. My mom did 20 plus years in the Air Force and my dad did 20 plus years in the Navy. So very well traveled, had a chance to live in Guam and Turkey and whatnot. And so, you know, my mom and my dad eventually split when I was like 5 or 6. And, you know, my dad was, you know, sort of just indifferent in terms of what I wanted to do. I was so young. But my mom always made it clear to me. She was like, you're not going in the military. Whatever you do, you're not going. I had like a dream of being a Navy SEAL for a little while. She like shot that. I'm super, super quick. And ever since then, it was like no military on my mind, even though, you know, living on base. And I had like older guys, friends who were, you know, in the ROTC. Yeah. And so I was always around it. And I think that was sort of another like factor of why I didn't want to go into the military, is because I saw it every single day. I saw my mom, you know, do the things she did, lace up her boots, get out and go work every day. So I can never get back. But it definitely taught me a lot.
I respect that, though. What was the of the places you lived, which place was the most interesting?
Ooh. And as you said, to answer that other question, how I ended up in Florida. So all my family, and this also answers this question as well. So my mom and my grandmother and, you know, all my mom's side of the family are from the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix to be specific.
So once, you know, the family sort of, it was growing and kind of got a little bigger, we, some of us moved to Florida, which is, you know, a close, you know, United States safe haven. As you know, the U.S. Virgin Islands are U.S. territory, so we automatically have citizenship. There's, you know, not too many quirks getting over here into the United States. So we live in Florida. And so once my mom retired, we moved right to West Palm Beach, which is close to the family, which is answer that question. So
Collins, no. Collins, you were so good at this because I forgot that I asked that question. You cleaned it up for me, which very well.
No, I got
very
you. I got you, baby.
No. Very skillfully done by you. And I am thinking that you and I are going to co-host this f***ing thing together at some point, okay?
Hey, I hope so. Once I come back to South Florida, are you doing the show back home?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We can get it working.
Yeah, a couple of wands. There's got to be like something here. a couple of wands cutting it up. You know, Stanley, think of a name for me and Collins, okay, for a podcast that we're going to co-host together.
I was thinking John did go to Wake Forest, and he did have a segment called Wake and Take. So we got an option there.
Hey, stop giving up ideas, man. Hold on those. You need to keep those in your pocket.
Speaking of Wake, though, John, how'd you end up at Wake? Were you a huge Tim Duncan fan growing up?
You know, it's funny I say that because ironically, you know, U.S. Virgin Islands ties. My mom, like, I'm not BSing you guys now. My mom and her entire family knows Tim's entire family. St. Croix is a very small island. So it's just like funny I went to Wake Forest. But the real reason I went there was because I wanted to go to an ACC school. You know, I was sort of an under-recruited kid in high school. I didn't really have too much of a platform just to, you know, a lot of people just didn't know who I was, just straight up. I was still very good. And I had a couple high majors calling at my door. And in my mind, the process was if I go to an ACC school, I just have a better shot of getting to the NBA regardless. And I play Duke twice. I play whoever twice. I just felt like it was the best conference in America. And I felt like I had a platform to do my thing on a national stage. And then the icing on the cake was having Coach Manning, Coach Danny Manning as a head coach. Because, you know, getting to the league and NBA was my next step, my next goal. And I was like, okay, once I get to college, then what? And then I was like, well, once I get to college, if as long as I play well, I have Coach Manning, who was a number one overall draft pick. You know what I'm saying? A seasoned NBA veteran. This guy has ties to the NBA. So I felt like whatever avenue I wanted to, like, focus on in that area, I had you know, support and coverage.
Where are you now? Are you in Atlanta or are you in South Florida right now?
No. Back in Atlanta right now, you know, they're trying to open the facilities slowly and whatnot. Right. So I'm sort of just waiting it out and trying to get back to work. But I'm in Atlanta.
Well, what do you make of that? Like, do you see the season ending? Do you see them finishing this season? And are you okay with it? Is there some trepidation? Are you nervous? Like, where are you with what they should do with this NBA season?
Yeah, personally, I don't have like a say. Like, for me, like, I'm gonna show up to work. So if we gotta show up to work, come back.
Right.
I'm not gonna get angry that I have to go work out and like get back into shape. Like, it's my job. So I feel like wherever, like, what happens, like, I have a job to do. So like, go do your job. But in terms of like what we're gonna do, when we're gonna come back, it's tough, Stu, because we're going on like dates and times given to us and by us by different states, right? So now we're looking at Florida or Vegas or wherever. And it's like, to me, it's like you can say whatever, you know, we can have everything in place and set. But if there's another spike in, you know, COVID or anything that happened, something is going to get pushed back. So for me, it's like it's just a waiting game. You know, like I'm going to be as ready as I can whenever. But I feel like we're going to get some basketball back opposed to how much. I'm not sure. I feel like we're definitely going to get some type of playoffs back or some type of meaningful basketball. I feel like, you know, a lot of people will tune in and watch that. Obviously, a lot of people want to make their money. A lot of people losing money right now, especially, you know, big NBA contracts and whatnot. We can get into that later. But I feel like you're going to see some sort of basketball NBA fans. It's sounding like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a little optimistic there, and that's good to hear. Yeah. John, I got to ask you about playing with Trae Young. I did my digging. I'm going to read you what somebody sent me, okay? So these aren't my words.
Are you going to cause trouble right now with John Collins?
No, I'm not going to cause any trouble. I just want to ask John. We'll see what he thinks. This person said, you can kind of see John slumping his shoulders when he's just chilling in the corner and Trae doesn't pass him the ball. His body language is demonstrative and obvious. So what is that like?
Yeah, I'd say it's sort of like with anything. Like, Trae's like
any other thing. Like, you get Trey, and Trey is going to dime you up. He's going to give you the best assist possible, and he's going to be, like, a great leader and teammate. You know, he's super talented, and he sets me up all day. But it's like, sometimes Trey's going to do his thing. Like, sometimes Trey's thing, like, with any other superstar, like, I feel like a lot of people would say the same thing about James or, like, Steph or, like, Dame, right? Because those dudes take a lot of shots. They take a lot of tough, contested shots. Like, we need him to make some of those shots, too. You know, sometimes I'm not going to be happy with every shot he takes. Like, I'm a basketball purist as well. Like, Trey knows he might have taken a bad shot here or there. Like, that's a different conversation. Okay. Like, whether I'm mad or not is, like, or mad about his shot is, like, irrelevant. Because it's, like, I know it's going to happen. I know he's going to take those. Like, I am mad. Like, oh, damn, Trey shot that one. But it's, like, get back on defense. So it's like I'm mad, but it's like, how long am I mad for? Like, you know, like, am I going to go to Trey after the game and be like, yo, Trey, you remember that shot you took at 4 minutes, 23 seconds where I was wide open? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work like that. You feel me? So it's like, I can be mad as I want to, but like, Trey understands that he's going to have to take tough shots. I understand he's going to have to take tough shots to make them. And that's my boy. Like I said, he's going to set me up as well. So like, it's part of the game. Part of being a pro and understanding, like, who's on your team.
John, I got to tell you, man, John Collins with us here on Stupidity, forward for the Atlanta Hawks, should have been the third pick in the 2017 NBA draft. I love your honesty, man. I do. I love how candid, I love how real, genuine, and how honest you are. You didn't even back off that Trae Young question, man. You owned it, you accepted it, and you gave a great answer.
No, it's a serious question because that's why I go back to my point previously. It's like I felt like I could come on here like unprepared and do a great job because it's just sort of the energy. I can come on here and talk freely and not have to worry about, oh, Stu going to ask me this bullshit. Or like you guys might ask me a tough question, but I'm supposed to come on here prepared. Like, am I supposed to come up here like expecting you guys to ask me like, what was your drink of choice today when you ate breakfast, John? Like, nah, man, you guys want to know real shit. So I'm always prepared for you guys to ask questions because it is what it is, you know?
What'd you have for breakfast this media, morning? Like,
I get it.
Right. Coffee, water, what was it, John?
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had a smoothie this morning. Shouts out to Smoothie King. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, one day, maybe. But, yeah, I had Smoothie King this morning.
Wait, so Collins, like, I love this because I think, and it's perfectly fine, you think you're better than Trae Young. And I'm not even certain I disagree. You do think that. You should think that.
He knows that. We still got to get our one-on-one back. Whenever we get into the gym, like that's one of the first things we'll do is, like say, like, the play is over and, like, I'll be switched on to Trae with Trae. The coach had already blew the whistle, right? But me and Trae will still be going at it. And Trey will give me a move, like he might get me. Like we're always going at it. Like Trey has got me with some tough stuff too. Like I remember one time we're in practice, and I was locking him up. I switched onto him out on the perimeter, and I know what he likes to do. So I was locking all of it up. He finally gets by me, and he gives me like the toughest layup ever. Like he pushes me off everything. He gets the front rim. He's laughing, and I'm sitting there angry, like damn. But it's just like. Like, and now I get it. Like, that gives me motivation to go guard him again. We're still practicing.
Right.
And then it gives me, like a look after, like, oh, man, he's doing this to, like, whatever defender. Like, oh, he gave Pat Bev, like, a two-piece, or he gave, like, he got by Kawhi. Like, oh, my God. Like, it gives you more, like, perspective as to, like, how good he is, too.
I want to get back to focusing on you here, and we will. I got to ask you about the Baptist, your nickname, and where that came from. But what's the most impressive thing you've seen Trae Young do on a basketball court?
The most impressive thing I think I've seen him do, or the things he do, or the two things I like to see him do, or when he nutmegs people, like, naturally, I think it's just smooth. And then he's clutch. Like, I feel like whatever you want to say, like, whatever he does – like, he's clutch. Like, that's what matters to me is, like even if it does get to a point where I'm like, damn, man, Trey's taking every shot into the game. Like, I might be a little salty, but I know, like, Trey's going to come with it. Like, he's probably going to make that shot, like, if you give him a good opportunity.
All right, for you, I want to know. I want to know your welcome to the NBA moment, like when you were like, "Holy shit, man! I've been the best player everywhere I've gone. Wake Forest, high school, any school I played for. This is the NBA." Was there a welcome to the NBA moment for you?
Yeah, and it's kind of like you got to hear the story because during the game, nothing specifically happened. If there's a moment, right, LeBron, like he glassed my block in my rookie year, which was cool, and I fell on my back and stuff. But to me, it wasn't crazy. It was just like it was a good block. But the welcome to the NBA moment was I was in San Antonio, and this is my rookie year back when we still had Coach Bud, and it was a whole different team. And I ended the game with 2010, and I was guarding LaMarcus Aldridge the entire game. We still lost, and that was my first 2010 game. So, like, after the game, I was excited. I was like, man, 21-10. I'm like, boom. Everybody's like, yeah, good J game, JC. Coach Bud comes over. He's like, check your matchup stat sheet. L.A. had, like, 35-16. I was like, damn. I was like, that put me in perspective right there. I was like, damn. I was like, we had 21-10, my first 2010, like, I think maybe ever, like, my second one. Right. And we still lost. And I'm over here, like, gassed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, happy. Like, rookie year, 2010. L.A. cooked me, and we lost. So, like it put, like, everything in perspective. It's like, this is the NBA now.
The dunk that you are proud of, the guy that you have dunked on that you are proud of, listen, it's only been a couple of years for you, but is there a dunk that stands out where you dunked on someone and you were so f***ing proud and impressed with yourself that it still stands out to you this day?
I don't want to keep on saying his name because I said I'm going to get him and I'm going to just get him, but the person that I'm happy about getting most is Boban, just because he's 7'5".
Yeah.
Straight, that's it. Like, I don't know Boban, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's, like, a funny dude and all that stuff. Like, you know, with all the commercials he's doing, he's, like, a TV star now. But I got him good, two hands, everything. So I was happy about that just because, you know, he's a big fella. You know, big fellas, you know, you get a little more happy. You get a little energy when you dunk on a footer, especially when he's 7'5". So hopefully maybe one day I can get Taco.
Listen, there's a video on YouTube, I'm certain you're aware. John Collins will dunk on your favorite player. And I am desperately trying to find the Boban dunk right now.
You know, I don't know where it is. I don't know if they put it on there. But Boban is on there. If you type in, like, John Collins versus Clippers, I'm pretty sure you'll find it. I think it's one if he's still on the Clippers, it was one. It was last year.
John, while Stugatz is looking for that, who's caught you when you got back to the locker room? Your teammates were like, I can't believe so-and-so dunked on you.
I mean, I think the only person who's really got me is Joel, and that was like a really crazy one. But other than that, I'm seriously trying to remember like somebody like dunking on me, and that's like the only one.
What did Joel say afterwards? I'm sure he talked a lot of shit.
He didn't say anything. He was like, really? He was trying to shit me and all that. Yeah, if you watch the clip, he was like dancing and all that stuff, and that's why he's the dude. Like, I'm trying to get back, but everybody's always like, oh, you're dick riding, like, whenever you talk about Joel, like, when you do an interview, you're always like, I'm like, guys, they ask me a question, like, who do you want to dunk on the most? And I say, him. Like, you shimmy on me after you dunk on me, I'm saying, disrespect me, I'm coming for you. Like, it might not happen now, but I'm coming. So that's it. I'll leave it there.
So that's who you want to dunk on the most. We went over the welcome to the NBA moment. I am wondering, the nickname Baptist, the Baptist, where did that
the
come
Baptist.
From? How'd we get that?
Probably say the original story is, or like the backstory. So I went to a private Catholic high school as a kid, and I went to Wake Forest, which is almost like a religious school. You know what I'm saying? We have a chapel, Wake Chapel on campus. We have masses and so forth, but not to get into the religious thing, but that's, you know, to give you the John the Baptist background. And obviously, what did John the Baptist do? Dunks people in, baptizes them into water. Except, you know, I'm not dunking people into the water. I'm dunking you into the rim. And so I think that was really where it came from. And when I heard it, you know, me being a student of religion and like Catholicism and Christianity, like just having studied it growing up in that school, like it, I felt like it was just like, it worked. You know, I'm John the Baptist. I dunk on people. Like, yeah, I loved everything about it.
I got to connect you with another South Florida guy, my guy Jorge Masvidal, UFC, because that's what he does. When he beats you in the octagon, he says he baptizes you, man.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, all right. He's South Florida guy too?
Yeah, he's way down. Listen, Palm Beach and where he lives down in Miami are two different worlds, okay?
But oh, yes, yeah. Hey, trust me. I already know. Still South Florida. That's why I say South Florida. I say where I'm from. I'm from Palm Beach.
What were your thoughts when you, be honest with me, and you are honest, and you're great. You have been fantastic, and we know you're, you know, I'm going to let you go here in a couple of minutes. When you saw Kevin Herter first time, what were your thoughts?
It's funny because the first time I saw Kevin, we were scrimmaging each other in a closed door, Wake Forest versus Maryland. So I actually got a chance to meet Kevin before who Kevin was. And I was saying the same thing you are when we played Maryland. I was like, who the f*** is this white dude? I'm like, I was like, you got all these dudes over here. I was like, who this white dude starting? This big white dude. I'm like, man, all right, he must be nice. And Kevin comes out, bam, bam, bam. His three threes, it's a pretty close game. And he showed me who he was. And then when we drafted him, I think 2 years later, I was like, oh, damn. And that was like the first thing we connected on. I was like, bro, you remember me from this closed door? And I'm like, yeah. So, like, I don't know, man. I feel like Kevin has, like, a lot more in his game than people realize. Like, he's one of the dudes I feel like he's the next playmaker up on this team. Like, if you watch our team, like, if Trey isn't playmaking, like, we sort of give Kevin the ball and let him create because he's a big playmaker. He's like 6'7", really good shooter. Obviously, you know, doesn't look like he has what he has in this game. Sure. But he's got it.
You guys are close, man. Like, Stanzik and I were talking about this. Between you, Trey, Capella, like, you guys are – you're a year or two away from being a real contender in the East, man.
I feel like we definitely have that roster. And I feel like what, you know, a lot of people aren't taking into consideration is, you know, we have Kevin – going into his third year. We got Cam and DeAndre Hunter coming into their second year.
Right.
And for me, the biggest jump you can take or one of the biggest jumps you can take is that first to that second year. So we're going to have Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, and Bruno Fernando coming back as second-year guys. I feel like that's really going to help us out a lot, as well as having Kevin and Trey coming into their third years. So they already know what to expect. Like, that's such a big deal in the NBA, like knowing and understanding what to expect.
I got to tell you something, man. I've been doing this for 20 years. You are as comfortable, candid, and honest as anyone I've ever interviewed. And don't lose that, man. Okay?
All right, man, I appreciate that.
I'm serious. You're all Stanzik. Am I wrong? We've had how many people we had on this podcast? And you're just relaxed. You have a media career after you're done playing basketball in 20 years, man.
Great energy.
Appreciate you guys.
I love it. Don't take my job yet. You got like 20 years left in the NBA. But I will leave you with this.
Close.
No, we are. We're close. Two things, though. I want to connect you. So two things. I want to connect you with CJ McCollum, who's been on this podcast 4 or 5 times, because he wants to see, he has the same goal as you, has a great podcast. And I think the two of you on with me would be great together. And plus, he's great. Yeah. The ball. And, so I think you could do this thing simultaneously and, you know, advance your career. CJ signed 2 $100 million contracts. He's doing fine. So
money.
He reminds us every time he's on that he signed $200 million contracts. But I want to do this more often, me and you more often, because, you're great at this and I feel it serves me and it will serve you. So, I mean, and that's my entire life. Okay. You scratch my back and I scratch yours.
Stop it.
Collins. You're going to co-host this podcast with me, man.
I will be back on.
Great.
When we can get it back on. Trust me. Okay. We can get that done.
Awesome.
Appreciate you, my guys, Stu. And thanks for having me on. Like I said, I'll be back soon. So I'll see you guys then. Thank you guys again.
Stupidity!
Stanzik, here's what I love about doing this podcast, okay? There are times, many times, where we have a guest on. We're not certain what to think about the guest that's coming on. And then within 30 seconds, either you text me or I text you, holy shit, this guy's great. And it just happened with John Collins.
Yeah, that guy's a star. And you mentioned it. He's got a future in the media if he wants it.
Yeah, he really does. And he made me feel old by saying he grew up listening to that radio. God damn it.
He was smart, though. He came in with a compliment, and then you loved him right away. He could have been awful after that, but you would have remembered the compliment.
Well, Stanzik, right then and there, you knew he was not bullshitting. He is a huge fan of our radio show. He came in like that because he knows our radio show, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. And listen, that guy's going to co-host this podcast with me. I'd say that's going to happen, but we've discussed that with CJ McCollum and 20 other people who have come on this podcast, including Kenny Chesney.
Got a lot of co-hosts waiting.
Listen, I told Kenny G that. He's never been back on since. So, Stanzik, fun episode. Top 10 sounds. Mikey C is happy. I mean, everything that John Collins blew us away. Just a fantastic episode, Stanzik. It definitely in my top 5 episodes of all time. Thanks to John Collins. Thanks to Stanzik, as always. Deponity!